والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا ومن كفر فإن الله غني عن العالمين. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: الحج المبرور ليس له الجزاء إلا الجنة. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: والمدينة خير لهم لو كانوا يعلمون. آمنت بالله، صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected and honorable ulama ikram, elders, brothers, young friends in Islam, and sisters who may also be possibly listening, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives us an opportunity on a Jum'ah to discuss certain relevant aspects. And it is an amazing system that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has put into place 1446 years ago, when Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam departed from Quba. And after he departed from Quba, the time of Jum'ah set in, and near there is Masjidul Jum'ah. And Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam established the first Jum'ah after the Hijrat. And ever since then, in masjids across the globe, from east to west, north to south, there is spiritual nourishment that the speakers get, and the listeners also get that spiritual nourishment. And it is an amazing system that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has put into place. It is for us, each and every one of us, the speakers included, that we imbibe, we implement, we internalize, we practice. Because when we practice and put into place, then we receive the true benefit of these particular Jumu'ahs and these particular programs. Nevertheless, I thought that in today's Jumu'ah, we are from the time the moon of Eid was sighted. From that very moment, when the moon of Eid was sighted, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Al-Hajju Ashhurum Ma'lumat. The days of Hajj commenced. The days of Hajj commenced. The month of Shawwal, the month of Dhul-Qa'da, the month of Dhul-Hijjah, these are the months of Hajj. Al-Hajju Ashhurum Ma'lumat. And in fact, the months of Dhul-Qa'da, which is starting next week, and the month of Dhul-Hijjah, and the month of Muharram after that, these are from amongst the sacred months. These 3 months that come one after the other, these are from amongst the sacred months. And there are 4 sacred months, and the 4th sacred month is the month of Rajab. But these 3 come one after the other. And the meaning of a sacred month is that the rewards are multiplied of good deeds. That the sin is also multiplied if we are disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore a person has to make a focused effort to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to enhance and increase his good deeds during the sacred months, which are commencing next week already. But already we are in the months of Hajj. And from early next week already, the first flights of Hujjaj will be heading towards the holy lands, towards Makkah Mukarrama, towards Medina Munawwara. And the heart of every believer is to be attached to those holy lands. This is such a great pillar of Islam, such a great rukn, such a great obligation upon the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu was salam. Every ummati, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنْ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. That for the sake of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, وَلِلَّهِ, for the sake of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, عَلَى النَّاسِ, upon the people, it is wajib and obligatory to engage in the pilgrimage. In the pilgrimage and the Hajj to Mecca is wajib upon and farz upon every ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Man istata'a ilayhi sabila, whoever has got the means to travel there, and we should be making an effort to travel there. We should be making an effort to save up, to work in order to be able to travel for the Hajj. Every person should be making some sort of effort. I will just narrate to you one incident of Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, my Ustad, Hazrat Maulana Mufti Muhammad Rafi Usmani Sahib, the elder brother of Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum, who has now passed away. Mufti Rafi Usmani Sahib has passed away a couple of years ago. He mentioned to us that he asked his father, Mufti Shafi Sahib, the author of Ma'riful Quran, that Abba, make dua that we go for Hajj. So his father said, no, I'm not going to make dua for you that you go for Hajj. I will not make dua for you. So he said that we started jumping up and down. Why is Abba not making dua for us that we go for Hajj? He said that, why are you not making dua for us? He said, because you have not started to do anything that's in your control. He said, Abba, what do you mean? He said, have you started to collect some money? Have you started to collect some money at least? You want to go for Hajj? How are you going to go for Hajj? Are you just going to go just like that without any money, without buying a ticket, without having your passport? Have you made whatever was in your control? Did you start doing that much at least? He said, no, I haven't started doing that. And from that day he started, and of course then after that, how many Hajj and so forth he made. But that was not only for those times. Last year there was one brother who phoned me from Sri Lanka. And he said to me that, Maulana, make dua, alhamdulillah, I'm going for Hajj this year. So I said, and how many people phone and how many people say? And the reality is that we should be asking them to be making dua for the us, because they are going to the Rawdah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they are going to Makkah Mukarrama and Madinatul Munawwara and to the Holy Lands. So we should be honoring those guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahi al-azim, the hujjaj are duyufur rahman. They are the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are the guests of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We should be honoring them. So nevertheless, this brother phoned me from Sri Lanka and he said that he's going for Hajj and he's going with his family. Alhamdulillah. So I congratulated him. I said, Mubarak Badi. And then he told me a very, very interesting thing. He said, but Maulana, let me tell you why and how I am going. Because many, many years ago, you delivered a speech and a bayan, and I heard that speech. And I asked you to make dua for me. And I told him at that time that I'm not going to make dua until you start saving. He said that, Maulana, from that day onwards I started saving. And in that year, it must have been 15 years ago, maybe more than that. In that year, Hajj was 250,000 Sri Lankan rupees. And I was not married at that time. It was only 250,000 Sri Lankan rupees at that time. I was not married. And I thought, how will I ever get the means to go for Hajj? But you told me that I must start saving. So I started putting some money in aside, in one packet, in one envelope for Hajj. And today, last year he told me, today Hajj is 2 million rupees per person. That is the cost. But alhamdulillah, I am going with my wife for Hajj. And I just made a little bit of effort. I made a little bit of saving from my side. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala created the means. There must be intention and there must be action. There must be intention and there must be action. and then see how Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala makes the means. No one ever went to Makkah and Medina because they had money. And no one ever did not go because they didn't have money. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala takes every person. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala takes every person. But Allah ta'ala wants to see from our side that are we making a little effort or not. So there are going to be so many people who are going to be embarking upon this particular journey. From next week people will start going. And it is the greatest human gathering on the face of earth. It is an electrifying atmosphere in Makkah and Medina during these days. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, he said, Al-Hajjul Mabroor, Laysa lahul Jaza'u illa al-Jannah. When a person, he does a Hajj Mabroor. And what is a Hajj Mabroor? It is that Hajj which is performed in accordance to the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is which there is no disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no obscenity that is committed. There is no sins that are committed. It is a Hajj that is filled with sabr and patience, with perseverance and dedication. That Hajj, when a person commits and a person fulfills that particular obligation, Nabi alayhi salam, laysa lahul jaza'u illa al-jannah. There can be no other reward for that Hajj but Jannat and paradise from the side of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in one hadith that when a person performs such a Hajj, then when he returns back, then raja'aka yawmin waladathu ummu, then he returns like the day on which his mother gave birth to him. In other words, a completely clean slate. All of his sins. Hajj wipes off all of the sins that a person commits. When a person performs his Hajj, then Hajj has got the potential of changing his life for the better. Hajj will increase your rozi and your sustenance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaces that nafaqa and whatever amount that you spent during your Hajj. And therefore it is important for each and every one of us to start making an effort to perform this great ibadat that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has placed as an obligation on and a duty and a responsibility on our shoulders. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, whereas on the one hand he gave and he mentioned the great virtues of Hajj, Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam has also mentioned that the stern warnings that he sounded against those who, despite having the means, do not perform the Hajj. There are so many in our communities that despite having the means, they do not perform their Hajj. Despite having the means, they've got big businesses and they've got the means and they've got the wealth. But they never get down to performing their Hajj. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said in one hadith that whoever, despite having the means to perform the Hajj, he does not perform the Hajj, then it does not matter to me whether such a person dies as a Jew or a Christian. Let him die as a Jew or Christian, I'm not cared and worried about him. Can there be a sterner warning than that? Can there be a sterner warning than that? Of course, it is not, if a person does not have the means, then it is not farz and wajib and obligatory upon the person. But then too, a person must, his heart must be attached to Madinah Munawwara. His heart must be attached to Makkah Mukarrama. He must try and do something, whatever is in his means, to try and save up. And then at the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, looks at a person's intention. Many people will now be embarking upon this journey of Hajj. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, he said in one hadith, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, Ya Rasulullah, what are the greatest of actions? So Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam said that the greatest of actions is the belief in the tawheed and the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The greatest of actions is to believe in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that there is no one who does anything for us except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jo la kaha, wo la hua. Wo la bhi usme la hua. Juz la hua. Kul la hua. Phir kya hua? Allah hua. And Hajj is all about Tawheed. Labbaik. Allahumma labbaik. When we go and we don our ihrams, then we say, Labbaik Allah. Oh Allah, we are present here. Allahumma labbaik. Oh Allah, we are present. Labbaik, la sharika laka labbaik. Oh Allah, you have got no partners. You are one. And this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is about the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam said that the greatest action is tawheed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Belief in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There must be nothing else in our hearts except one Allah. Then Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, Ya Rasulullah, after that, what is the greatest action? After Tawheed, what is the greatest action? So Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam said, then after that it is jihad and striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Undertaking a struggle for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Struggling and undertaking difficulty upon your nafs and upon yourselves to ensure that there is no disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of these things have been mentioned by the muhaddithin, the mufassirin. Jihad means, أي الذين يختارون المشقة في الامتثال في امتثال أوامرنا والانتهاء عن مناهينا وفي نصرة ديننا. This is all jihad, to strive. And of course the ultimate jihad is what our brothers and sisters are engaging in Gaza, in Palestine, on behalf of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we can never ever forget that our brothers and sisters and little children upon whom difficulty has come and who are going through that particular struggle on behalf of the Ummah. And we should remember our brothers and sisters and little children in our du'as. Do whatever it will do to help and assist them. Whatever it takes for us to help and assist them. Wallahi al-azim, when you look at world conditions now, you can see very, very clearly that this ummah has been living from the time of the fall of the Ottoman Empire in the early 1900s. From that time, we have seen a degeneration of this ummah. We have been living and falling into the gutters. But when you see what is happening around us, when you see the upliftment of the Islamic economic system, when you see that the upliftment of the educational system, when you see what is happening around us, it becomes very, very clear that the time of this ummah to rise and shine and once again become a dominant global leader is coming very, very close. Because the halat and conditions of this ummah change based on what is happening in and around Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak. In history tells us that. And this Tufan Al-Aqsa that is happening. Whatever happened on the 7th of October, and it didn't start then. It started in 1948 when the Nakba happened. But when all of this is happening, you can clearly see that this ummah is going to rise and shine very, very soon. We as members of this ummah need to decide what role we want to play in the upliftment of this ummah. So we must be making dua for them. We must be doing whatever it takes for us to do to help and assist them. There should be political advocacy. There must be demonstrations that are happening. There is going to be a demonstration happening outside the Egyptian embassy this coming Monday to assert pressure on them to open the borders so that basic humanitarian aid can reach our brothers and sisters and little children in Gaza. We should be supporting such initiatives that are happening. We should be thinking about what is happening. Recently, the name of Sandton Drive in Johannesburg was changed to Leila Khalid Street or Leila Khalid Drive. These are important political advocacies that we must engage in and things that we must support. Because if the American embassy is there, or the Israeli embassy is on that road, then every time they print their letterheads, they have to put there, no more Santon Drive, Leila Khalid Street. These are things that we must support, these initiatives. Whatever it takes to help our brothers and sisters and little children, we must do. Otherwise, in the words of my Ustad, Hazrat Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahab, Damat Barakatuhum, recently he said, if we can't make dua for them and we can't send some little money for them also, then we must stop calling ourselves ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And ummati is affected by what happens to his fellow ummati. Nevertheless, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that the next action is jihad fi sabilillah. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Huraira asked him, after that, O Rasulullah, he said, then there is no greater action than Hajj, than pilgrimage to Makkah. There is no greater action than that. And our brothers, our sisters are going to be embarking upon this particular journey. We are going to, a lot of the Hujjaj, before Hajj already, they go to Madinatul Munawwara. What is it that we should be doing in Madinah Munawwara? What is it that we should be doing in Makkah Mukarrama? What is it that we should be doing as ummatis who might be remaining behind and not going? Our hearts should be attached to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But for the benefit of those who will be going and those who go for umrah, when we are in Madinah Munawwara, then our hearts, every nook and cranny, every corner of Medina is telling us a story. When a person goes to Quba, then Quba is telling us a story. When a person goes to Uhud, then Uhud is telling us a story. Uhud ke ye daman mein khoon hai shaheeda sabak de raha hai wafa-e Medina. 70 sahaba ikram radiyallahu ta'ala anhum buried in the mountain of Uhud, right on the foothill of the mountain of Uhud. 70. Ek din mein di 70 jaane, aisa pyara hai Allah. In one day, such great companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Hamzat ibn Abdul Muttalib, Asadullah, the lion of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, is giving his life. Mus'ab ibn Umair, the young sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who grew up in pomp and glory, in comfort and luxury in Makkah. It is mentioned about Mus'ab, when he used to walk in the mountain pass of Makkah, if a person came 2 days later even, he would know that Mus'ab passed through this mountain pass. How? Because the scent of the itar that Mus'ab used to use, it used to still be lingering in the air 2 days after that. Can you imagine? What type of itar we use, and what itar Mus'ab was using. But when he was martyred in the battle of Uhud, then there was not enough clothing to cover even his body, not enough kafan to cover his body. When they covered his feet, and his feet, when he covered his feet, his head was open, covered his head, his feet were open. So then the decision was made that we'll cover his head, and we will cover his feet with some dry grass, idhir grass. And then he was buried in that. Uhud ke ye daman mein khoon-e shaheeda sabak de raha hai wafa-e Medina. These are giving us the lessons of the loyalty of Medina. What loyalty we are supposed to be having to ourselves, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Medina is teaching us the lesson to be loyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Medina is teaching us about the love and connection that we are supposed to be having with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are the things that a person must be doing. It is not just about going there and fulfilling the rituals and the outward actions of the Hajj. A Hajj is a spiritual journey, and whoever is embarking and going upon that, even those who are not going, in order for us to be attached to the Hujjaj, we must also start reading at home the Fadailul Hajj, Kitabul Hajj, from that there's so much of literature that is available. Just start reading it. Create a thirst within our hearts that we must also be attached there, and see then after that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create the means. Those who have not registered for Hajj, We should be registering. After that, see, Allah will create the means, inshallah. But we must register, put our names down. Pay the little registration fee that is there. And make a little effort, because it is a great, great pillar of Islam. And the building of Islam is not going to stand if we are not going to fulfill the pillars and erect the pillars of Islam. So those who have not gone, we should be making an effort to go. Those who have gone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept their hajj, take us for many, many more hajj. And those who are embarking this year on the hajj, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala make them, grant each and every one a hajj mabroor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a hajj that is going to change the tides of this ummah. And it's going to change the fortunes of this ummah, inshaAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it very, very easy and accept it from all of them. And Allah remove the plight, the difficulties, the pain and the suffering that our brothers and sisters in different parts of the world are suffering, especially in Palestine, in the Gaza Strip, in the West Bank. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala liberate al-Masjid al-Aqsa, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant dominance to this ummah once again. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.